And I think I'm reading Psalm 46. So if you'd like to turn in your Bibles to page 570, page 570, Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, an ever-present help in trouble. Therefore, we will not fear, though the earth give way and the mountains fall into the heart of the sea, though its waters roar and foam and the mountains quake with their surging. There is a river whose streams make glad the city of God, the holy place where the Most High dwells. God is within her, she will not fall. God will help her at break of day. Nations are in uproar, kingdoms fall. He lifts his voice, the earth melts. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress. Come and see the works of the Lord, the desolations he has brought on the earth. He makes wars cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow and shatters the spear. He burns the shields with fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord Almighty is with us. The God of Jacob is our fortress.
Tonight I'm going to lead us through Psalm 46, so that's page 570, as he's read. I'm going to turn this mic on now. Thanks, Wakiki. I'm going to pray before we start. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for what it shows us about you. And we pray that here in Psalm 46, we would be able to look at you and be still in that. In Jesus' name, amen. Can you picture it? Can you picture the end of the world? What do you picture when you picture the end of the world? Verses 2 and 3 here. The earth gives way. The mountains fall into the heart of the sea. Its waters roar and foam. Mountains quake. Can you picture it? This opening couple of verses is about the biggest, most ancient, most reliable, most solid things in the world, the mountains, falling, crumbling, as though they were never there. Have you ever experienced that? In life? Last summer I was on the beach and spent the whole morning crafting, building the best sandcastle that I had ever made and that beach had ever seen. All morning I had my tools, I had my shovel, spade, pat, nice and strong. I made it by the rocks, far from the sea, so it should have been pretty solid. And I got it to about this high and then put a little stick in the top, the flag, to say it was done. And I looked away, and I didn't even hear it happening. But while my back was turned, my six-year-old niece two-footed straight into it, like it was never there. It just fell. Or maybe what we're picturing here in Psalm 46 is more like the volcano disaster movie, where that massive mountain shakes and spews up the lava, and we just look at that and feel so small, so helpless. Do you ever look at something that you relied on, that you thought was solid, that you thought would be there forever, and see it crumbling? I think this is the moment for the psalmist when we might say the ground fell from underneath his feet. The world falls apart. And so for he who wrote this, and for those who first read it, I think the main thing that probably came to mind as they thought about the world falling apart was enemies attacking them, attacking their city. They were God's people. Enemies attacking them to kill them. Imagine how that felt. And as dramatic as this image is that we have, as he often does, I think the psalmist is inviting us to come and think with him, can we relate? Where do we see life and get worried? Because the mountains weren't actually falling apart, but that's how it felt. That's how it felt for him, for them, and sometimes that's how it feels for us. Some obvious things. War will make us feel like that if it's closer to home than ever before. Maybe confusion and division among our leaders in politics or whoever's in charge in our life. Or a little closer to home, maybe you come out of that test, the one that you thought you'd do well in, and it was dreadful. And then you ask your friend, how did you find that? Secretly hoping that he'll also say, it was horrendous, but then they're like, no, it was all good, all good. The place that you thought, the thing you thought was going to go well, has not worked out. Or you finally got that new job, but it hasn't fixed anything. You're still as stressed, you're still not spending as much time as you'd like at home. Or maybe for you, it's as you think about yourself, as you think about your own heart and your mind and your body, and you see it crumbling. More medication needed. More trips to the doctor needed. I remember a friend of mine talking about how he felt. This was quite recently, but he was talking about how he felt when he was 14 and his mum died after quite a short battle of cancer. How did he describe it? My whole world fell from under me. When we look around, the world falls apart. And when you see that, when you see the sea surge, the mountain fallen, where can you run to? Is there something or someone, and you think, if I could get there, I'd be on top of the world. I'd be safe from this. Well, I think Psalm 46 is warning us to start with that even that mountain, that might crumble. Because the world falls apart. But it also tells us that there is somewhere we can go. Because we're then told about a city that stands. From verses 4 to 6, we're given this picture that is just the total opposite of the chaos in the first few verses. And in the middle of a psalm with chaos at the start, and as we'll see, a kind of chaos at the end, in the middle there's this place of complete calm. Where there's a river that makes people glad. A place where people are smiling. And so when we are standing looking at the title we have come, the psalmist is inviting us, come to this city. Come to the city that stands while the world falls apart. There is a river whose streams make glad, the city of God. So the sea rages, but the river is peaceful and calm. Dublin, London, Paris, cities need rivers. And I guess it's something we don't appreciate quite as much today as they might have, but rivers are so important because they bring provision, food, people come through the river, access to water. They bring protection. Much harder to attack a city that has a river in it. And this city has a river. And it brings life and gladness despite what's still going on outside the city. So while the world falls, this city stands. Why? Because God is here. Verses 4 to 5, God is within her, the holy place where the Most High dwells. And I think as we move through the psalm, we're not being told that the chaos has stopped. It's still going on around. I mean, even after it mentions the city, nations are in uproar, kingdoms falling. So again, war for them. What's that for us? And so if you're in this city, you might climb up the wall and look through the parapet and still see and hear the chaos of the world around you. You might even feel it from inside. But if you are inside, the gates are locked and barred, and whether you feel it or not, you are safe. And then when the night is dark and you think the door is going to be rammed in, help comes. Because God will help, verse 5, at the break of day. So even while the world falls, the city still stands. And so the invitation for us is to come and live in this city. To come and live in God's city, where there is real safety and real gladness. And as we said, in one sense, that doesn't stop what's going on around us. There is still stuff happening that's out of our control. There is still a kind of chaos that we can see and hear and feel. And when you're inside that city, you might feel like that's going to come and overtake and defeat you. But it won't. Because inside, we can be safe and can be glad. Because God is here, and he is the city's helper. So even if the world looks like it's fallen apart, especially when it looks like it's fallen apart, what we then see as we look at the last few verses of the psalm, from 8 onwards, is that God can make it still. God will make it still. And so anyone who has run into God's city and who calls on him has real help now and has real protection now, but also has help to come at the break of day. Come inside. So for them, maybe that meant getting into Jerusalem, to being safe there, where God lived. For us, it means running to Jesus, who has come to us and said, "Come to me." One of his most famous stories is him with his followers, his disciples, out in a boat in a storm. Let me read from Mark 4. There they are, out in the boat, and it says, "A furious storm came, waves breaking over the boat so that it was nearly swamped. And Jesus was asleep while this was happening. But his followers weren't. They could see it. They could feel it. What did they think? Well, we know because Mark tells us they woke Jesus up and they asked him, don't you care if we drown? They did not feel safe, but because they were with Jesus, they were. They really were. And at the right time, later than they would have liked, what did he do? He stood up and he says, "Quiet, be still." Then the wind died down and it was completely calm. And so anyone who comes to Jesus for refuge, for safety, will be safe with him. You know the famous song? With Jesus in the boat, we can smile at the storm. Having him means having real gladness despite what's going on around us. This psalm talks about God as our refuge and our strength and our fortress. And that is Jesus for us. He is our ever-present help. And he is the one who helps at the break of day. Jesus has opened the drawbridge of the city and has open arms and says, "Come inside. Come to me." And so the tone then changes after this picture of the city. We're invited to then come and see the works of the Lord, verse 8, the desolations he has brought on the earth. Verse 9, he makes war cease to the ends of the earth. He breaks the bow, shatters the spear, and burns the shields with fire. This is the invitation for those who have come into the city to look at what is once chaos and war and strife, because in his time, God will make all of that be still. And we get those famous words, "Be still and know that I am God." And so what this is telling us is that in his time, God will win total victory against all those who are attacking him and his people. And his victory will be quick and it'll be decisive. Though the enemies won't be squirming or fighting anymore, they will be still. And so the psalmist, as he thinks back to God's track record, he knows God's people have been in danger before, they've been in trouble before, they've had all sorts of things to deal with from outside, from within, and God has always rescued, and rescued, and rescued again. And he looks back at God's track record, and he believes that God will this time too, in time. And so whatever those enemies used to war against God and his people, bow, spear, shield, I think we're being told God is going to forcibly disarm them until they are still and submit to him. Do we feel threatened by the world around us? All who are warring against God and his people are going to be told to stop and be still. And we know that the chaos, like we picture in the first few verses, and the war going on outside and what's going on within, sin is the problem, isn't it? And even the chaos that sin brings, God is going to bring that to a total end in his time. And anyone who is sinning against him, warring against him, outside the city, will be told to be still. And so the sea raging in the first few verses reminds us of the chaos that the sea seems to bring over and over in the Bible. It's part of God's judgment. It's caused by sin. Think about Noah's flood. Think about the Red Sea as Moses led his people across. Think about here in the Psalms, the sea raging. The sea comes up in Revelation, and God's enemies come from the sea. But it is under God's control. He stops the rain. He parts the sea. There is no sea in the new city that he will bring us to. And so here in Jerusalem, we're told he has replaced the roaring and the foaming of the sea with a river that brings peace and gladness. Do we feel attacks from God's enemies, from outside, from within? Bows and spears for them, words and laughs and sniggers and judgment for us. That lack of opportunity at the workplace, that rule of the eyes when you say you follow Jesus. Well, let's come back to these famous words. How good your eyesight. Anyone else have them on a poster, on a picture? Be still and know that I am God. I've got this in my desk just through there. And I think it's interesting to note that first of all, they seem to be spoken to God's enemies. Those who are raging against God and his people. And the phrase be still comes up elsewhere in the Bible and apparently could also be translated and sometimes is translated in these kinds of ways. So here it's be still. Elsewhere it's things like be weak, fall limp, do nothing, become helpless, sink down. So I think God speaking to those who are against him is more like the hard but fair head teacher marching into the classroom where it's rowdy and chaotic. And he walks in and he just has to look at them. And you can hear a pin drop. And if we are those who are inside the city, that is what we will see one day. God going to those who are against him, and we will hear a pin drop. And we will know, and they will know, he is God. He is exalted. But I do think our words, be still, can have a gentler meaning for those who are inside the city. If we have submitted, if we have come on our knees and said, you are God, and I am not, I trust in you. I trust in you, Christ. I turn to you. If we have sunk down, then then those words, be still, can have a much more positive meaning for us. Arvind Balaram is a pastor in India, and he recently had to do 3 funerals in 10 days at his church. And he wrote a little blog piece talking about it, reflecting on it. And he said that he preached on Psalm 46 on the last one. And he said, he gave us 4 points. I'm just going to read through his summary of his sermon. This phrase, be still, he says, firstly, means God is reminding us we are not God. We do not run the world. We do not get to decide when life should begin or end. Who gets sick, who recovers, who dies, and who lives. We are not God. Secondly, he is reminding us that he is God. He is in control of everything. There's no such thing as chance, bad luck, or randomness in God's world. He does not make mistakes, and he is not prone to accidents. Thirdly, God decides what will happen, when it will happen, how it should happen. He is God. He is sovereign. He can be trusted. And finally, God declares that he will be exalted. He always wins. His plans never fail, and his purposes can't be stopped. We are not God. He is. He decides. He wins. And so the encouragement for all of us who have come into his city is to be still. When you turn on the RTE news and night after night after night, it's despair and worrying, close to home, further away. Yeah, this doesn't mean that it just bounces off us, but it does help to pause and say, I'm not God. God knows. God will respond. He will speak in his time. That issue at home or at work that is literally keeping you up at night. Again, this doesn't get rid of it, but it helps to be able to pause and say, he is God, he knows. He will speak into that situation. That helps us to rest and pause and not play God. To be weak, to fall limp, at times to do nothing, to know that he is God. Believing in him brings real stillness. And it brings it once and for all and real gladness and a real kind of safety now. But for those who continue to trust in him, it brings total safety and the end of all wars and all enemies and all chaos when he comes to help at the break of day. So if you are someone who has submitted, got on your knees and said, you're God and I'm not, I trust in you, Jesus, then continue to live that way. Continue to live like he is God in stillness, knowing you're not. And if you're not, this is your invitation to come into the city to be still before him. He will bring help at the break of day. Let me finish by reading a few verses from the end of Revelation chapter 21 and the start of 22. This is where we're told to picture this city that we will go to, who have run to. And he carried me, that's John who wrote and saw this vision, and he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain, great and high, and showed me the holy city, Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And a little later on, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb, down the middle of the great street of the city. May God bless his word. We're going to sing together, Awake, Awake, O Zion. Yes, Martin. What are we singing? We're singing Faithful One. Thank you. Thank you, Sarah. So do stand with the music. Mm-hmm.